Welcome to Mealtime with Marjorie. Are you ready for your daily bread? We'll be reading 1 Peter chapter 3. We'll begin with the Simplified Living Bible text, Good Advice for Husbands and Wives, verse 1. Wives, fit in with your husband's plans. They might refuse to listen when you talk to them about the Lord, but they will be won by your respectful, pure behavior. Your godly lives will speak to them better than any words. Don't worry about the beauty that depends on jewelry, or clothes, or fancy hair. Be beautiful inside, in your hearts. Have the lasting charm of a gentle and quiet spirit that is so precious to God. That kind of deep beauty was seen in the saintly women of old. They trusted God and fitted in with their husband's plans. Sarah obeyed her husband Abraham. She honored him as head of the house. You have become her children in doing what is right. You don't need to fear offending your husbands. You husbands must be careful of your wives. Be thoughtful of their needs. Honor them as the weaker sex. Remember that you and your wife are partners in receiving God's blessings. If you don't treat her as you should, your prayers will not be answered. Do what is right, no matter what others say and do. Verse 8. Also, you should be like one big family. You should be full of kindness toward each other. Love one another with tender hearts and humble minds. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't snap back at those who say unkind things about you. Instead, pray for God's help for them. We are to be kind to others, and if we are, God will bless us for it. If you want a happy, good life, keep control of your tongue. Guard your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Try to live in peace. Run after it to catch and hold it. For the Lord is watching his children and listening to their prayers. But the Lord's face is hard against those who do evil. Usually no one will hurt you for wanting to do good. But even if they should, you are to be envied. God will reward you for it. Quietly trust yourself to Christ your Lord. If anybody asks why you believe as you do, be ready to tell them. Do it in a gentle and respectful way. Do what is right. If you do, men still might speak against you. They still might call you evil names, but they will be ashamed of themselves. If God gives you suffering, it is better to suffer for good than for evil. Christ is our partner even when we suffer. Verse 18. Christ also suffered. He died once for the sins of all. He was innocent of any sin at any time. He wanted to bring us safely home to God. But though his body died, his spirit lived on. In the spirit, he visited the spirits in prison and preached to them. They were those who, in the days of Noah, refused to listen to God. He waited patiently for them while Noah was building the ark, yet only 8 persons were saved from drowning in that terrible flood. That is what baptism pictures for us. Baptism shows that we have been saved by the resurrection of Christ. It is not because our bodies are washed clean by the water. It is because we are turning to God and asking him to cleanse our hearts. Now Christ is in heaven. He is sitting in the place of honor next to God the Father. All the angels and powers of heaven are bowing before him and obeying him. That concludes the reading of 1 Peter chapter 3 in the Simplified Living Bible text. Scripture quoted from the Simplified Living Bible, copyright 1990, used by permission of Tyndale House Publishers, Incorporated. All rights reserved. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, in the New Living Translation. In the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. Even those who refuse to accept the good news. Your godly lives will speak to them better than any words. They will be won over by watching your pure, godly behavior. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty that depends on fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should be known for the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. That is the way the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They trusted God and accepted the authority of their husbands. For instance, Sarah obeyed her husband Abraham when she called him her master. You are her daughters when you do what is right without fear of what your husbands might do. In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat her with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. If you don't treat her as you should, your prayers will not be heard. Finally, all of you should be of one mind, full of sympathy toward each other, loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate when people say unkind things about you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God wants you to do, and He will bless you for it. For the scriptures say, if you want a happy life and good days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and keep your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Work hard at living in peace with others. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and His ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns His face against those who do evil. Now who will want to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't be afraid and don't worry. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if you are asked about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. But you must do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak evil against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. Remember, it is better to suffer for doing good, if that is what God wants, than to suffer for doing wrong. Christ also suffered when He died for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but He died for sinners that He might bring us safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but He was raised to life in the Spirit. So He went and preached to the spirits in prison, those who disobeyed God long ago when God waited patiently while Noah was building his boat. Only 8 people were saved from drowning in that terrible flood. And this is a picture of baptism, which now saves you by the power of Jesus Christ's resurrection. Baptism is not a removal of dirt from your body. It is an appeal to God from a clean conscience. Now Christ has gone to heaven. He is seated in the place of honor next to God, and all the angels and authorities and powers are bowing before Him. That concludes 1 Peter chapter 3 in the New Living Translation. Scripture quoted from the Holy Bible, New Living Translation, copyright 1996 by Tyndale House Foundation, used by permission of Tyndale House Publishers. All rights reserved. 1 Peter chapter 3 in the Amplified Bible, verse 1. In like manner, you married women, be submissive to your own husbands. Subordinate yourselves as being secondary to and dependent on them, and adapt yourselves to them, so that even if any do not obey the word of God, they may be won over, not by discussion, but by the godly lives of their wives, when they observe the pure and modest way in which you conduct yourselves, together with your reverence for your husband. You are to feel for him all that reverence includes, to respect, defer to, revere him, to honor, esteem, appreciate, prize, and in the human sense, to adore him, that is, to admire, praise, be devoted to, deeply love, and enjoy your husband. Let not yours be the merely external adorning with elaborate interweaving and knotting of the hair, the wearing of jewelry, or changes of clothes, but let it be the inward adorning and beauty of the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible and unfading charm of a gentle and peaceful spirit, which is not anxious or wrought up, but is very precious in the sight of God. For it was thus that the pious women of old who hoped in God were accustomed to beautify themselves and were submissive to their husbands, adapting themselves to them as themselves secondary and dependent upon them. It was thus that Sarah obeyed Abraham, following his guidance and acknowledging his headship over her, by calling him Lord, Master, Leader, Authority. And you are now her true daughters if you do right and let nothing terrify you, not giving way to hysterical fears or letting anxieties unnerve you. In the same way, you married men should live considerately with your wives, with an intelligent recognition of the marriage relation, honoring the woman as physically the weaker, but realizing that you are joint heirs of the grace, God's unmerited favor, of life, in order that your prayers may not be hindered and cut off. Otherwise, you cannot pray effectively. Finally, all of you should be of one and the same mind, united in spirit, sympathizing with one another, loving each other as brethren of one household, compassionate and courteous, tender-hearted and humble. Never return evil for evil or insult for insult, scolding, tongue-lashing, berating, but on the contrary, blessing, praying for their welfare, happiness, and protection, and truly pitying and loving them. For know that to this you have been called, that you may yourselves inherit a blessing from God, that you may obtain a blessing as heirs, bringing welfare and happiness and protection. For let him who wants to enjoy life and see good days, good, whether apparent or not, keep his tongue free from evil and his lips from guile, treachery, deceit. Let him turn away from wickedness and shun it, and let him do right. Let him search for peace, harmony, undisturbedness from fears, agitating passions and moral conflicts, and seek it eagerly. Do not merely desire peaceful relationships with God, with your fellow men, and with yourself, but pursue, go after them. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, those who are upright and in right standing with God, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who practice evil, to oppose them, to frustrate and defeat them. Now who is there to hurt you if you are zealous followers of that which is good? But even in case you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed, happy, to be envied. Do not dread or be afraid of their threats, nor be disturbed by their opposition. But in your hearts set Christ apart as holy, and acknowledge him as Lord. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope that is in you. But do it courteously and respectfully, and see to it that your conscience is entirely clear, unimpaired, so that when you are falsely accused as evildoers, those who threaten you abusively and revile your right behavior in Christ may come to be ashamed of slandering your good lives. For it is better to suffer unjustly for doing right, if that should be God's will, than to suffer justly for doing wrong. For Christ, the Messiah himself, died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, the just for the unjust, the innocent for the guilty, that he might bring us to God. In his human body he was put to death, but he was made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and preached to the spirits in prison. The souls of those who long before, in the days of Noah, had been disobedient, when God's patience waited during the building of the ark, in which a few people, actually 8 in number, were saved through water. And baptism, which is a figure of their deliverance, does now also save you from inward questionings and fears, not by the removing of outward body filth, bathing, but by providing you with the answer of a good and clear conscience inward cleanness and peace before God, because you are demonstrating what you believe to be yours through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he has now entered into heaven and is at the right hand of God with all angels and authorities and powers made subservient to him. That concludes the reading of 1 Peter chapter 3 in the Amplified Bible. Scripture quoted from the Amplified Bible, New Testament, copyright 1987 by the Lachman Foundation, used by permission, all rights reserved. 1 Peter 3, English Standard Version. Wives and husbands. Verse 1. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Suffering for righteousness' sake. Verse 8. Finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers, having been subjected to him. That concludes the reading of 1 Peter 3 in the English Standard Version. Scripture quotations are from the ESV Bible, the Holy Bible, English Standard Version. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers, used by permission, all rights reserved. 1 Peter 3 is one of several places in the Bible where God establishes or confirms the order of authority in the home as being God, man, woman, children, although children are not mentioned in this passage. When we read the Word of God, we encounter some topics that are definitely countercultural. They may cause us to raise an eyebrow or make the hairs on the back of our necks bristle, or maybe we just toss them aside as old-fashioned. Stop. Stop. Apply the brakes. Halt for a moment. Remember, this is the Word of God we're talking about. It is absolute truth. Our world, our culture, is filled with uncertainty and relativism. The Bible is our Creator's love letter to us. It has stood the test of time. It is unchanging. Everything God says to us is because He loves us. Keeping that in mind, let's pay close attention and listen with an open mind to what He's telling us today. Holy Spirit has a message in this chapter for each of us, and because our relationships with Him are deeply personal, that message is customized in such a way that we may all have heard something different. Here are some things that I heard in the passage. First, let me give you a brief backstory. I'm 59 years old, divorced, and remarried. My first marriage, I met my husband during a season of rebellion. Within 2 years, we had a child. As a new mother, I was suddenly awakened to my need for Jesus. It was then that I confessed my sins to the Lord and experienced His love and forgiveness. After 7 years of marriage, my husband divorced me to marry his secretary. A couple of years later, I remarried, but carried with me a lot of insecurities, an inability to trust, a strong sense of independence, you know, the thought that I am never going to need anyone again. And perhaps because I was 5 years older than my husband, yeah, we'll go with that, I assumed a leadership role in our family. We had our share of blessings and good times, but we also had plenty of struggles through the past 29 years of marriage. Recently, God spoke to me about His plan for unity in our marriage. It started with, "Who's in charge?" It was a huge battle, but I humbled myself and obeyed. I stepped out of the leadership role, and we began a journey toward wholeness and harmony in our relationship as we attempt to follow God's plan. Let me just say that one of the immediate benefits was less stress. There were burdens I had carried for years that were never intended to be mine, and I was glad to see them go. So the verse that spoke to me was from 1 Peter 3, 1 and 2 in the Amplified Bible. I'm going to read them again right now. "In like manner, you married women, be submissive to your own husbands. Subordinate yourselves as being secondary to and dependent on them, and adapt yourselves to them, so that even if any do not obey the word of God, they may be won over, not by discussion, but by the godly lives of their wives, when they observe the pure and modest way in which you conduct yourselves, together with your reverence for your husband. You are to feel for him all that reverence includes, to respect, defer to, revere him, to honor, esteem, appreciate, prize, and in the human sense, to adore him, that is, to admire, praise, be devoted to, deeply love, and enjoy your husband." I read that to my husband. He laughed and said, "Yeah, that's what I'm talking about." There's a new sweetness to our relationship of respect and appreciation. Maybe it can be called reverence. I'm learning to admire, deeply love, and enjoy my husband. God's ways are always best, my friends. Now, I'm aware from my first marriage and from other friends who are married to abusive or addicted or unfaithful spouses that sin hurts people and can fracture a family unit. While I cannot address your specific situation, God can. Cry out to the Lord as a baby cries for milk, like we heard from 1 Peter 2. Humble yourself before Him. Walk closely with Him every day. Read the Word, meditate, pray, listen to Him speak. And when you hear His voice, obey. There were many other things Holy Spirit could have spoken to you as we read the chapter, such as verse 3. Where do you find your self-worth? From your clothes, jewelry, hairstyle? Or are you allowing Holy Spirit to beautify your heart with an unfading charm of a gentle and peaceful spirit? Verse 6. Do you get caught up in anxiety or give way to hysterical fears? or let anxieties unnerve you. Verse 7, for the men, perhaps Holy Spirit's adjusting how you treat your wife. Are you being considerate? Do you honor her? Are you aware that you are joint heirs of the grace of God, and that how you treat her affects your prayers? Verse 16, perhaps he's telling you to see to it that your conscience is entirely clear. Verse 21, maybe he spoke to you about baptism. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and have never been baptized, now may be the time to wash away all inward questions and fears and publicly confess your faith by being baptized. There are so many messages Holy Spirit could bring to us while we read the living Word of God. His message to you is personalized. It may be something he wants you to do today, or maybe he's preparing you for something in the future. This journey with God is amazing. There's nothing else like it. I'll step aside now and allow you and Holy Spirit to do business together. Discuss those things that he brought to your attention. Remember, be quick to obey. Thanks for joining me. I love you.